I'm Jez Barron, and this is Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, making his standard Monday appearance on the program, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat. Rob joins the show to break down Atletico's 2-1 loss at Villarreal on Sunday night, which contained elements of both the expected and the unexpected. Atletico making it 3 years now without a win at La Cerámica against their bogey team in the Yellow Submarine, but this loss was unexpected in the way it occurred. We'll talk about Diego Simeone's decisions, where he went wrong, why he went wrong, and where it leaves Atletico entering the international break. Not just on a sour note, but now just 4 points ahead of Real Madrid in the race for second place. Of course, 11 points behind Barcelona, who now are just missing the league title. We're also going to get to Colt Gennaro Chat Amigo questions in this episode. Thanks to those of you who chipped in. Remember, if you want priority on your question and a guaranteed answer on an episode of Colt Gennaro Chat, join all the fun at patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. Become a Colt Gennaro Chat Amigo. And you'll get a bunch of other rewards as well that I will be looking over and updating during the international break. Also, please leave a rating and a review for Colt Gennaro Chat on Apple Podcasts, iTunes. It would be really helpful for us, gets more eyes and ears on the show, and shines a light on the work we do. So we really appreciate a rating and review if you haven't done so yet. In the meantime, we'll be back with Rob Walker in just a minute. Which I am doing now.
Okay, good. So,
fantastic. Let's get started then. We have a lot to get through. Let's do the whip around. As we reached the international break, we're through 29 match days. Ugh. I know.
This is one of the worst international breaks where the matches have no significance whatsoever and players are trying not to get injured.
They're basically pointless.
Yeah, pretty much.
But
warm-ups.
Yeah, basically warm-ups for the World Cup, which will be exciting, but we're not there yet. Let's track back to Friday when Levante beat Eibar 2-1. Look at Levante rising, unbeaten in their last three. They've won two of those. They're now 6 points clear of the drop. Eibar, not a good loss for them. Their hopes of getting into European football taking a pretty big hit with their second straight loss. They have just one win from their last six.
That's a big win for Levante. That gives them a huge, huge cushion now. And I kind of am now starting to think it's about over.
That probably is going to keep them up. On Saturday, Depor and Las Palmas playing out a 1-1 draw. That's the classic relegation six-pointer that helps neither team.
Yeah, the worst-case scenario.
And Las Palmas only have Real Madrid coming out of the international break.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Mm-hmm. They have to hope half their team gets injured.
Valencia, 3-1 winners over Alaves. Valencia, now basically the form team in La Liga. 5 wins from their last six. They won 3 in a row. Pretty much confirming that they will be back in the Champions League next season. Still in the fight for third place, just a point behind Real Madrid. Real Sociedad, 1. Getafe, 2. A really strange game for La Real. Cost Eusebio his job. Getafe get their first away win for 6 months. It's their second of the season as they come back at Anoeta. Betis notching a 3-0 win over Espanyol on Saturday night. Really pretty easy win for Betis, who are right in the thick of the Europa League conversation. Just one loss from their last four. Sunday was a big day. Leganés notching a 2-1 win over 10-man Sevilla. Because this Sevilla team is just the most inconsistent team ever. Getting a measure of revenge for the Copa del Rey exit last month. Barcelona 2-0 winners over Athletic Club de Bilbao as Barcelona continue their march toward an unbeaten season. Celta and Malaga, a goalless draw. Way to go, Malaga. That's their first point. I think that's their first point in the last 6 weeks. Celta, wow. Why you do this, fam? Celta at home, too, drawing to Malaga. 0-0. Yikes!
Yep, couple of teams going for Europa League shooting themselves in the foot this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Girona, another one of those, as they went to the Bernabeu and got hit for 6. 6-3 loss, Cristiano Ronaldo scoring 4, assisting another. Girona did score three, though, and Christian Stuani now has 17 league goals this season.
He's on some kind of crazy sort of form. I don't know what is going on with him this year.
He has as many goals as Griezmann. He has more goals than Rodrigo Moreno. He has more goals than Willian Jose.
Not bad, not bad. Probably one of the best non-Real Madrid-Barcelona players in the league this season.
Yeah, he's been terrific. And those are your results. So, Barcelona extending their lead to 11 over Atletico, as we'll talk about in a minute here. Atletico in second on 64 points. Real Madrid in third on 60 points. Valencia in fourth on 59. Then a big old gap between them and Villarreal in fifth. Sevilla in sixth. Girona in seventh. That race is getting pretty competitive, but so is the race for top four positioning, because Atletico reopened that race on Sunday night by collapsing at La Cerámica. Villarreal 2, Atletico 1. Ugh, where do we start with this one? I guess we can talk about what happened after the match before we talk about the actual match, because Simeone had some pretty interesting remarks after the game.
Yes, indeed. He wasn't hiding from this one. He certainly didn't do a Mourinho.
No.
Which I do appreciate.
Even though he played like Mourinho would. He didn't deflect like Mourinho did.
I kind of appreciate this version a lot more.
So, if you didn't see it, Simeone, after the match, took the blame for the loss, saying, "My decisions hurt the team. The players did really well. I couldn't help them. This loss is my bad." And, I mean, yeah, he's right. he's kind of right here. Looking at understats, expected goals chart for this game. In the 80th minute, Atletico's expected goals stood at 1.16. Villarreal stood at 0.47. At full time, Atletico's expected goals still stood at 1.16. Villarreal's at 1.39. So in the 10 minutes between Gabby entering for Griezmann and the end of the match, Villarreal scored twice. Their expected goals went up by nearly one entire goal. So, yeah, the Gabby substitution decided the game.
Well, and 3/4 of Atleti's expected goals were from the penalty, so...
Yeah, that
sums it up a little bit there.
Yeah, you're not creating chances of your own. You can't kill off a game.
Yeah, exactly. And especially from set pieces, which time and again has been the undoing of this team this season. I mean, they didn't have a shot which, you know, was any meaning, but after the 70th minute, that was it. Ultra shut up shop, and it really backfired.
All three of the goals Villarreal scored this season against Atletico came from set pieces.
Yeah.
All three of them.
It's so strange, because that was this team's thing just a few seasons ago, but it seems that that's kind of disappeared a bit.
Yeah, it's gone. It's been gone for a couple seasons now, and it's not coming back. Atletico's style of play has changed.
Well, and annoyingly, not only have they gotten worse at defending them, they've also gotten worse at scoring them, so
Except penalties, because Griezmann's penalty was perfect.
True. This is true. Though he did do a bit of a Danny Welbeck to get it.
He did. It wasn't a penalty.
No, it wasn't.
Not even close. So if you think about it, these calls kind of even out over a game, over a season. So do you think Atletico deserved this one?
No, I don't think. Granted, I did not watch the second half. I was watching the first half on my phone in an airport. So, you know, but I watched it back later, and it just, there was nothing being made at all. I mean, if you don't create chances beyond the 70th minute against a team that's as good as Villarreal, you have to expect that at some point they might be able to open you up.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't like a bottom three team.
No, that's a good segue into this point. Simeone will do this a few times every year. He's done it several times this season. When it works, it's great. Sees out a result. It's a boring result, but it sees it out, 3 points. When it doesn't work, it leads to really awful losses like this one. This is the fourth time this season between La Liga, the Copa del Rey, and the Champions League. Fourth time this season that Atletico have lost a game in the final 5 minutes.
Well, this game, in a lot of ways, is kind of similar to that putrid game against Malaga we've had in the second half of the season. But it went the other way. And, you know, we talked about it then, I think, that this sort of thing can happen when you play this kind of style.
Simeone tried to do what he did against Malaga. He tried to do what he did against Deportivo, what he did against Real Betis in December. All those results were 1-0 away against teams in the bottom half of the table. You cannot do this against a team that has Villarreal's depth and Villarreal's quality.
Yeah, Villarreal have been great this season. And it's strange because he said, you know, in his pre-match press conference, which, you know, you can put however much weight into those you think it deserves, but he said, you know, Villarreal are a great team with great attacking options. It's like, well, you didn't really set up that way.
No, and he respected...
you sort of invited that pressure onto yourself.
He respected that too much. And it was strange because at the beginning of the match, Atletico played really positively. The setup in which Simeone came out was really positive. Angel Correa started, which I was not expecting. I was expecting Gabby to start, and Simeone going back to the four central midfielders he went with in Moscow, he went with at Sevilla, etc. I was surprised to see Correa start at letting get a shot on target in the first minute of the game and eventually see their work in the first 20 minutes rewarded with a penalty, a dodgy penalty. That wasn't a penalty, but still a penalty. And they entering halftime, they were the better team. And then just the second half, it was kind of like reverse of polar opposites of what we've seen most of the season. Atletico coming out really slowly to start the game and turning it on in the second half. This was the opposite.
Yep, that's exactly right. It was a very, very, very poor second half.
And the first time this season that Atleti have lost from a winning position in La Liga. It took 29 weeks for that to happen. That's pretty impressive, but really bad time for it to happen considering Madrid are entering a period of good form and they're now just 4 points back. That really bad second half, what do you attribute it? To just Simeone's tactics and his decisions, or perhaps maybe bigger picture, like a lack of options or a really small squad?
Yeah, I think that may have something to do with it, perhaps.
Really?
Well, then I think it was also a big problem. Diego Costa didn't have any shots at all of any description in this match, mm-hmm. and when he's not going and the rest of the attack isn't going, there's not a lot going on, and you add that together with the whole strategy of not really trying to score, that's a problem.
I mean, it's tough. Costa in the first half was great. I think his hold-up play was critical to everything that Atleti were doing. And then in the second half, just everyone sagged off. Villarreal ran up close to 65% possession. And Costa, he had no service. He had no ball to hold up. That was the problem. That's why he disappeared in the second half, because he had no service.
Yeah, I think one of the most influential players, and you know it's a bad Atleti game when Godin, for the most part, was orchestrating the attack by just lumping the ball forward.
Yeah.
And that's when you know it's going very poorly.
Yeah.
And if you look at their passes in the final third, they were really, really struggling to complete them, and I think that's a huge part of it. Their wide play is just building up their attacks was just not going anywhere.
It's interesting you mention that, because Felipe Luis didn't play because he's out for the season.
Mm.
It's interesting that you mentioned that. And Shime Rusalico was basically force-fed the ball a lot of this game and asked to do what Felipe does. When Rusalico in some ways is similar to Felipe Luis, but he doesn't have all of Felipe's flair and all of his qualities.
Yep, that's exactly right. I mean, we've seen this season that Rusalico can provide a great cross from wide, but he hasn't been doing that as much lately. He's been very solid defensively, I think, but he hasn't been as adventurous going forward as we may have hoped.
Especially like we saw a few months ago when he was providing assists right. every game.
Yes, exactly. And we know Lucas isn't an attacking fullback, and he's not really being asked to even try to do that at this point. And that's fine. Defensively, he's solid, but it really, really, really reduces the offensive options.
No, it really, really hurts when Atletico cannot have a marauding left back. And this is where you'd think Vitolo would help. We'll talk all about Vitolo in a minute. This is where you would think Vitolo would help, kind of making the runs that Felipe would. Not having Lucas would have the defensive responsibilities. Vitolo to make the overlapping runs, put on that little bit of extra flair, that little extra like oomph, maybe swing in across every now and then, cut inside. That's where you expect Vitolo to in a way, replace Felipe. But Vitolo didn't start.
I think so.
And Vitolo didn't come on until, like, the 70th minute.
Yeah, I really thought that this would be a game that it would be a good idea to perhaps rest Koke, because he's been playing that wide role, which takes a lot more out of him. I mean, Koke is a lot of things, but an athletic player is not one of his best traits. And he's played a ton of football this season, so I would have much preferred if they had two traditional wide men, because I thought Correa was all right. He certainly at least gave a different option. But yeah, I would have liked to maybe see two more traditional wide men, but done the season, there was not much chance of that happening.
Yeah. By the way, Koke, he's not going to get a rest.
Never.
We need to stop hoping that he is, because he's just not. This is his rest, and it's going to be on Spain duty.
It's ridiculous.
I know.
It's so ridiculous.
But, yeah, and this also kind of goes back to Simeone's tactics and Simeone's strategy for this game. He took way too long to respond to what Javi Calleja was doing on the Villarreal bench. You got to give credit to Villarreal, and Calleja in particular. He made three very positive changes that, while it may have seemed panicky, it may have seemed desperate, Villarreal kept their structure. Villarreal continued to keep and circulate the ball and generate more and more dangerous chances, especially as Atletico just retreated and decided to see out a 1-0. So you got to give Calleja a lot of credit for throwing on Sansone, Sansone was probably their least impactful substitute, but he was still pretty good. He came on the hour. Unal came on. He, of course, scored the two goals for Villarreal. He came on minutes after Vitolo entered, which was a really good response. And then Samuel Castillejo. And for the final about 15 minutes, he swung in the free kick that Bonera eventually slid to Unal to score the winning goal. So all three substitutes impacted the game in some manner.
Yeah, and it kind of makes it a bit stranger that he didn't react to the subs that were made, because Castillejo in particular has been one of the league's most dangerous wide players this whole season, and has been for a number of years as well. And then Unal is, of course, the lone legend. He's been on loan about 5 million times, but he's a good player, as we saw in this game. I'm a bit streaky, but that's in this situation, that's very useful.
I mean, what Unal did was he got up in the air. He won a bunch of headers. Got up in the air. Atletico just couldn't track him and track his movement. And he beat Saul in the air for the first goal that came off the Alvaro cross. And Saul has no excuse for getting beat there. He was in position. And Atletico defensively also have no excuse for leaving Alvaro alone to cross that ball in just unmarked. Just horrific set-piece defending.
Yeah, that's something that they desperately need to amend if they're going to keep doing the strategy, because this is one of the things. If you're bunkering against a team, you have to be able to defend set pieces when you give them away.
And, yeah, that didn't happen on either goal, because, again, they both came from set pieces. And
it's just sloppy set-piece goals.
Just sloppy. And I thought back to the Sporting Gijón game a couple of years ago. This was like a carbon copy of that game during the 15-16 season. Griezmann scored in the first half from a set piece. Atletico went into the halftime with a 1-0 lead. Simeone grew more and more conservative as the game went along, and Sporting scored two goals in the final, I think, 10 minutes. So almost a carbon copy of that game at El Moinón a couple years ago. To still be talking about that game 2 years later and remarking on the same philosophy and the same strategies 2 years later is a bit... It's not good. It doesn't show much has changed from Simeone. It's games like this where it's like a low budget Mourinho. And right. It's so frustrating because we see the football that Atletico can play. We saw it in midweek when they went to Moscow and put up 5. We saw it last weekend when they put up 3 against Celta.
Yeah, that's right. And I think this team is more built to play that way than it is built to play the 13-14 way, the sort of more bunkery way. It doesn't have the defensive nous that those teams did. Those teams were less talented, so they had to play that way. Yeah. This team is chock full. Well, I shouldn't say chock. It's a tiny squad. It has talent in it. there are places where it's very good and young talent to add to that. And it's just not working. This match has sort of showed that this is Simeone's biggest fault, I think, as a manager. And games where gets under pressure, he gets nervous and bunkers, and that has backfired on him more than once at this point.
This is not to just pile on Simeone, because Simeone is possibly the greatest thing to ever happen to this club, depending on how you feel about Aragonés. But this is his biggest fault, especially against bigger teams. He treats it like it's a war of attrition when Atletico have the talent to race clear of these teams. And that's not to discredit Villarreal either. Villarreal are Atletico's bogey team. Atleti have not won at La Cerámica since 2015. So this was extended to 3 years. But this is the flaw still, and Simeone is probably never going to correct it. Most times it works. This strategy does work. Sometimes it doesn't. This was the one of those times where it doesn't, and it really, really hurt Atletico. Especially with Madrid winning, especially with Valencia winning. That race is reopened up, and it's going to make for a really, really interesting last 9 weeks when it really didn't have to be that way.
Yeah, our biggest, I think, the hope that I have coming away from this game, there, I think the hope that I have is that this may spur some, maybe, I mean, obviously Simeone's not going to change the way this team plays or how he goes about managing a football match, but hopefully inspires some sort of maybe wisening up when it comes to these La Liga games and not just kind of taking their foot off the gas. I mean, because now with both Valencia and Real Madrid kind of hitting form at the right time down the stretch at the end of the season, they are going to have to be careful they don't let this lead slip.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a minute. We have a Colts Neuro Chat Amigo question on that.
Yes.
One of our two Colts Neuro Chat Amigo questions. Thanks, guys, for submitting them. We really appreciate it. First one from Trace Gatos. What was with the weird reds this weekend? I'm not certain Vitolo or Sarabia deserved to be sent off this weekend. Yeah, Sarabia was sent off for Sevilla. That was also very dodgy. Also, with how reckless Griezmann was most of the match, wanting to get his yellow, which he did, and even after he got his yellow, why take off Correa first rather than Griezmann? Correa could have slid into the Griezmann role, and Vitolo could have still come on. Yeah, I completely agree. I completely agree with that. There was no need to take off. I don't think there was any need to take Griezmann off at all.
No, definitely not. And I don't really think Correa deserved to come off. I thought at the very least, like I said earlier, he was providing another option that Atleti don't have. And Vitolo is sort of the same kind of thing. So maybe you want to try something else by having two of them on, perhaps.
No, it's too ambitious.
Yeah, exactly. And bringing on Fernando Torres, I also don't really get that one either.
Like you have Gamero. Why are you throwing on Torres for the last 5 minutes? What is he going to do? What is Torres going to do for you?
Yeah, unless Gamero was like kind of borderline in terms of coming back from that injury. Other than that, I don't really see the reasoning for bringing on Torres. I mean, yes, he scored in midweek, but...
Torres did score two goals midweek, yes, but you're correcting the error you just made 5 minutes ago. Why make that error in the first place? Keep Griezmann on. You don't need to use all three subs.
The Torres goals midweek, to be fair, were a little stat paddy. One was a penalty, and one was after Locomotive were way dead.
That's Europa League Player of the Week candidate Fernando Torres. Yes. You're slandering, Rob. Sorry. Keep that in mind.
So sorry.
But yeah, Vitolo, we were going to talk about him. I thought it was a really positive spell for him. I thought he came on in the first 10 minutes before Griezmann came off. Very positive spell from Atletico. No shots, but they looked good going forward. He looks more comfortable on the ball. His red card was absolutely absurd. The referees report, Borbalan, who lost control of this game in the first half and just never really bothered to get it back. Borbalan's report said that Vitolo had like hit Sansone in the face, which replay confirmed was not true. Atletico are going to appeal it. I think they have a good case here because there was no reason for Vitolo to be set off. And good for Costa for stepping in and getting a yellow card of his own.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I was in favor of that. In that Costa yellow card, I don't care if it takes him. I think that's his fourth now. I don't care if it takes him to four. It's whatever.
Yeah, maybe. Stick up for your teammates. He will fight for the team. If he doesn't score, he will put himself about.
Stick up for your teammates. Yeah, and Griezmann got his yellow as Tres Gatos mentioned. So that will rule him out of Deportivo on April 1st. He'll be back for the derby though.
That was one of the good things to come out of this match. So
Sporting Gijon also asks us, he's got like three questions here. Is it Atleti's destiny to again finish third behind Real Madrid? Were we just kidding ourselves and thinking it would go any other way? Then again, if we finish third instead of second, does it really matter? Maybe Europa League should be Atleti's only measuring stick at this point. Clearly, I don't know how to feel. I love this team, but they also make me crazy. Sums it up.
Yeah, I think that's how a lot of us feel.
So let's address the first part of his question. Is it Atleti's destiny to again finish third behind Real Madrid? And
if you believe in that sort of thing, probably.
I looked through the fixture lists last night. Obviously, all three teams, I'm including Valencia in this because they're just 5 points behind Atletico. Atleti, I think, have the best run-in of any of those three teams because they come back. Atletico hosts Depor. They go to the Bernabeu for the Madrid derby. That's essentially a final for second place. Whoever wins that game is going to get second behind Barca.
Yep.
Then Atletico hosts Levante. They go to Anoeta for a midweek game, which could be difficult, but La Real aren't very good this year. Atletico then host Betis, go to Alaves, host Espanyol, go to Getafe, host Eibar. The most difficult away trip other than the Bernabeu is going to Getafe.
Yep, Getafe is the one I'm worried about.
So after the Madrid derby, I think Atletico have a pretty generous fixture list.
Yeah, they have some games they should win, but, I mean, even that, taking some of these for granted is a bad idea. I mean, Real Betis have conceded a trillion goals, and they score a bunch of goals. That could really go either way.
They do, but they're not very good away from home. And Alaves, a few weeks ago, I would have been very nervous to go there, but Alaves have lost 3 out of 4. The charm has kind of worn off Abelardo's first few weeks there.
They're still
in fine shape, but, yeah, the sheen has worn off a little bit. Madrid, on the other hand, they have a gimme against Las Palmas after the break. Then they have the Champions League quarterfinal against Juventus, and Madrid derby sandwiched in between. Real Madrid then go to Malaga, host Athletic, host Leganés, and then their last four games include away trips to Camp Nou, the Pizjuan against Sevilla, and La Cerámica against Villarreal.
Yeah, those last three are the big ones for them.
That's three of their last four, starting on May 6th.
And they'll probably be distracted by Champions League till late anyway.
Yeah, there's going to be a Champions League semifinal in the middle of that, most likely.
Yeah, depending on how those Juventus games go. I mean, that is the one bit of hit for Atletico, is they will be distracted and their best players are going to play against Juventus. So that's the only hope there. But all of Atletico's best players will play against Sporting because we have 17.
honestly, people have been making a big deal out of that. To me, it's not a big deal because you always have the academy. You always have the Canteranos. Like, Sergi was on the bench in this game. I didn't think that was a bad thing.
No, I would have liked to be. I'm sort of hoping to see Sergi a little bit more.
It's when players get injured, like Felipe, that it becomes a big deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Animo Felipe. Now, Valencia don't have European football like Atletico and Real Madrid to worry about. But they have a couple tricky games, too. They go to Camp Nou on April 15th to face Barca. They go to Balaidos the week after that. That could also be tricky. They also have a trip to La Cerámica still to make on May 6th. And they go to Girona the week after.
Yeah, and Girona I'm more worried about Real Madrid than I am about Valencia.
That's true, but Girona will likely still be fighting for a Europa League place. They could still be fighting for a Europa League place in match day 37. So of those three teams, I think Atletico do have the best run-in on paper. I don't know if you agree or not.
I think they do. I think that not having to play Barcelona again and just having really the one big, big game before the end of the season makes a big difference.
Yeah, Atletico have gotten all their murderous road trips out of the way now rather than at the end of the season. So on paper, Atletico have, I wouldn't say easiest, but Atletico have the most favorable run-in. That being said, it looks like Madrid is entering that part of the season where they just don't lose. And
they're doing that thing again.
Yeah, they're doing that thing where Cristiano scores a million goals and they just don't lose. So you could put pretty much anyone in front of them right now. I mean, they scored 6 on Sunday. They're now a goal behind Barcelona for the lead in La Liga. 2 months ago, that seemed impossible that they were going to catch Barcelona in terms of goal scoring. They're not going to catch them in points, but you know, Cristiano wants his Pichichi and all that good stuff. So,
well, I'm just glad we got our Cristiano scoring no goals off jokes off when we could.
Yeah,
so
it was fun
because that was always going to come to an end.
It was fun for a while.
Oh, it certainly was.
Rats.
But one of the players that you shouldn't doubt to come out of a goal drought is Cristiano. I think.
No.
The man scores goals, whether you like it or not.
So, to kind of wrap that up, for our Colchonero Chat Amigo Sporting Gijón, I like Atleti's running more than I like Real Madrid's or Valencia's, but Atletico don't have as much depth as Real Madrid, and they also have a capacity for really damaging last-second losses. And that means that we're still kind of in a holding pattern until the derby. I mean, right now, I think, even when Atletico were 10 points up, I wasn't willing to count out Real Madrid, and this is why. So that Madrid derby on April 8th is a final. It is a final.
That will be a good game, I think. But I agree with you. I think whoever wins that is fairly favored for getting second place.
Because if Atletico go to the Bernabeu and win there, they're likely going to be 7 points clear with, I think it'll be seven to play, and they'll have head-to-head. They won't have goal difference, but they'll have head-to-head. Atletico already have head-to-head and goal difference over Valencia, so Valencia would have to outright finish with more points than Atletico. That five-point lead is basically six over Valencia.
Yep, I agree. I think it's going to come down to that game at Bernabeu. I think unless either team totally craps their pants in the last couple weeks of the season, I think that'll probably determine it.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Well, and then, of course, we have the Europa League sandwiched in there. Yes. And I don't think those Sporting games are really going to be that easy. I don't think that's a super favorable draw for Atletico. They're not. I don't really see them as being too dissimilar from the kind of team Villarreal are, which is worrying given what just happened. A lot of good attacking players.
Yeah, I haven't. Scary. I haven't watched them much. I haven't watched the Portuguese league at large much. 538 rates Atletico, I think, is 81% to get through to a semifinal.
I just worry, and they have Bastos, who's big, and the set pieces thing is somewhat worrisome. Mm. So yeah, I don't know. I think those games, they're certainly the toughest knockout game Atleti have had yet, and that's also a bit of a concern. They've kind of had two gimmies at this point, I think. So
I think it's better than drawing Arsenal at this stage. I think it's better than drawing Leipzig, who are dangerous despite their inexperience. I mean, they just went and beat Bayern at the weekend. So despite kind of their relative inexperience, they have really good players. I think it's better than drawing Marseille as well.
Yeah. Definitely better than Marseille. That would be worrisome as well.
And Sporting did need extra time to beat Victoria.
True.
Yeah.
The one thing that gives me a little bit of hope is that they huffed and puffed, man, big time against Victoria.
Yeah. So Atletico are still pretty heavy favorites to get through and pretty heavy favorites to win the Europa League. But we're not counting our chickens yet. I did the Q&A with Villarreal USA over the weekend, and they asked me, who do you want to see in the Europa League final? I wanted to say, well, let's get through Sporting first.
Yeah.
I would like to see Lazio in like a Simeone derby.
Ooh, that would be good. But yeah, that would be a very good semifinal.
Let's get through Sporting first.
Yes, true. Yeah. Very true.
Partido a partido. So Europa League is going well. After Atletico put up 5 against Lokomotiv, that was a really, really good performance. Villarreal performance, not so much. And now we have international break. Potentially, Atletico are looking at having, I think, 14 available first-team players against Deportivo. That's great.
That would be a lot of fun.
I was thinking about this last night, what that bench might look like. I think Werner, Savic, Juanfran, assuming Juanfran comes back and is fit, which I think he will be after a couple weeks off, Sergi, Gabby, and then one or two Canteranos, depending on if Vitolo gets his red card rescinded. Which isn't bad.
Yeah, we're down to bare bones, but it's not so bad. I think defensively we should be okay. I think that was probably as much as we all hated to see Felipe go off, and it's going to be extremely damaging. Not that was the one area that we could handle an injury. Not more than one, but I think that was the area where I was sort of... I mean, if anything had happened in midfield or up front, it would have been a struggle, I think.
Yeah. Let's not assume that something won't happen before the end of the season. Right.
Yes, indeed.
Losing Felipe was a major blow. You can already feel it. You could see how the team played Sunday, and they already missed him. So that's a concern moving forward, is how Simeone is going to get this team to play for 2 months without Felipe. I wonder how he's going to do it. I would probably have Vitolo in a more advanced role, just playing off of Lucas. You can keep the two banks of four. You can just have Lucas like stop at the halfway line, and then that's where Vitolo picks up his run. Yeah, because Lucas isn't going to go forward.
Yeah, which I think is probably for the best, even though it isn't great for the overall team. I think it's probably better that Lucas doesn't try to do the attacking things, because he's very good at defending, but not so much going forward.
Yeah, I thought he played well Sunday, just Atletico really missed having that outlet across from Versalico.
Yeah.
They just really missed having what everything Felipe offers, which it's a big deal having him out. It's a really big deal.
And oh, yeah, almost certainly.
It's bad luck, but a huge element of it is really poor squad planning. Because of these, sales they had to make.
That was strange that I wasn't expecting him to play in that game against Lokomotiv. But, you know, these things, you can never predict them when they're going to happen or how bad that was going to be. And like I say, it was total luck. So that was pretty terrible.
Yeah, not great, Bob. Not great.
Mm-mm. Nope, not good.
Okay, I think that just about wraps it up for the regular pod, unless you've got anything.
I think that's all I got.
Fantastic. Well, we are going to shift on over to Patreon to do the bonus pod for our Colts Neural Chat Amigos. But in the meantime, for all you regular non-Patreon listeners, that was Rob Walker. You can follow him on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me, your host, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at jbbarron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon so you can read our work, listen to our podcasts, all that good stuff. And make sure you like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/Into the Calderon. Subscribe and listen to this podcast, Colts Neural Chat, on your favorite podcasting platform that includes Apple Podcasts, iTunes. If you're on that platform, make sure to leave a rating and a review. And in addition, head over to the Patreon page if you want to become a Colts Neural Chat amigo, get access to the bonus pods, and a lot more. I'll be working on updating the rewards over the international break to give y'all a better experience. So head over to patreon.com/cultsnarrowchat to learn more. We will be back at some point over this international break. I'll let y'all know. In the meantime, adios.